Let me relate for a moment the story found in a magnificent little volume, which I commend to your reading. It's called Man's Search for Meaning, written by Viktor Frankl, V-I-K-T-O-R, Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L. It's essentially an autobiographical account of this gentleman's experiences in the death camps of Nazi Germany during World War II, where he was imprisoned because he was a Jew. A psychiatrist from Austria. By the way, if you're ever bogged down feeling victimized in self-pity, or know someone who is, read that book. Or share it as a gift, because it begins to give a sense or a vision of what a person is capable of. The experiences he had in this death camp were unbelievably terrible. In fact, they are almost so repugnant to our sense of decency and virtue, we would hardly want to talk about them. Hideous tortures, indignities of one kind or another. But little by little, Frankl began to realize that he was proactive. He didn't use that word. In fact, you can't find that word in the dictionary. That's why I like it. We can give our own connotation to it. But he called it the last ultimate freedom, the power to choose one's own response in any given set of circumstances. One day when they were torturing him, he began to sense, they cannot hurt me. They can hurt my body. They can hurt my whole temporal circumstance. But I live in that body. They cannot hurt me. They cannot hurt Viktor Frankl, the person. His essential identity was preserved. And he used a series of disciplines, which he outlines in that book, moral, intellectual, emotional disciplines, drawing heavily upon two mind muscles, memory and imagination. And little by little, he exercised this very small, this embryonic freedom which he had inside, until it grew and grew, until he developed more freedom than his Nazi captors. Now notice how I'm using this language. He developed more freedom than his Nazi captors. They had more liberty than he. Liberty, let's define, as a condition of the environment. Freedom is a condition of the person. Liberty means that we have many options or alternatives to choose among in our environment. Freedom means we have the internal power to exercise those options. You see, in the last analysis, and I admit this is very hard doctrine, maybe not too hard intellectually, but emotionally to really deeply buy into it. In the last analysis, no one, nothing can hurt us without our consent. It is our willing permission, our consent to what happens to us that hurts us. Far more than what happens to us originally. Now, things can hurt us physically, temporally, badly. We can sorrow over these things. But the real us, the true identity, the character, the foundation of all success in life, character. The foundation of all success with people, character, does not have to be hurt at all. In fact, it is like the crucible of fire. That very experience is the grist mill that develops the character and develops the internal powers, the freedoms, to handle difficult circumstances of the future and to inspire other people to do similarly. As I said, this is not easy. It's hard. It's hard. Particularly if you and I have had years and years of Oh, explaining our misery in the name of circumstance or what someone else has done to us. Not an easy thing. I remember one time talking about this in a large group of people in Sacramento. Many hundreds of people were there, and a woman stood up in the middle of the speech and tried to give a speech. She got pretty exercised, I guess, about the concept, and she became aware of what she was doing, grew embarrassed, sat back down, but she couldn't constrain herself. She just talked to everyone around her, just with a kind of an excitement. I could hardly wait for the break to find out what had happened. I went up to her and I said, what happened to you? And she said, you know, what you're talking about is really something, because I had a real hard time with it. And I'm the full-time nurse to the most miserable, ungrateful man you can imagine. I mean, that's my professional work. And he just never expresses any kind of appreciation. In fact, he hardly even acknowledges my presence. He nags, he harps. He's really hard on me and the other full-time nurses. And we all kind of feel the same way. It's just made life miserable for us. And I know that it's just worn me out and beat me up. And I go home and I know I take it out on my loved ones. And I think they understand pretty well. But for you to have the gall to stand up there and suggest that I chose to be miserable, you know, do you think I could buy into that? I chose it? You know, I couldn't swallow that bitter pill. Too big, too bitter. I kept thinking about it. And I came to a very important insight. If it was true that I chose to be miserable, in other words, I chose my response to a miserable circumstance, it was also true I could choose otherwise. And that's when I stood up. She says, that's when I wanted to just absolutely shout to everybody. I felt completely liberated. I felt as if I were being let out of prison. No longer can that miserable character control my life. It is not what happens to us. It's our response to what happens to us that makes us what we are. We're also made by what happens to us, but not as much as by our response. In fact, eventually, I'm convinced our response to what happens to us will influence much, not all, but much of what happens to us in the future. It shapes our circumstances little by little, slowly, imperceptibly. But that power to choose our response lies within us. But we have to first have the vision. Are we proactive? Are we fundamentally responsible?